You're listening to the Groundswell Sermon Podcast, a brand new church in the Halton region, Ontario, Canada.
As you may recall, as we've discussed the last few weeks, Advent is the arrival of a notable person or event. And that Advent for us is looking back in the anticipation of the first incarnation, which literally means to take on flesh. As believers, we know that he's coming back again, and we can be waiting, watching, and occupying the land for his glory and honor. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been lighting the Advent candles, representing gifts from God. The first candle that symbolizes hope for the coming of Christ and the hope that he brings to the world. Our second candle was the candle that symbolized peace and preparation. The peace that Christ's birth brings, the shalom of God. Peace that goes beyond understanding, sometimes in the most difficult situations. The candle that we lit last week symbolizes joy. It represents the joy felt at the birth of Christ and the joy of anticipating his return. This joy is characterized by contentment and satisfaction with overall life. Joy supernaturally sustains our souls. Today, we will light the fourth candle, which symbolizes love. It represents the message of God's love that the angels announced at his birth. 1 John 4 says that God is love. In this love, God was made manifest amongst us. That God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Christianity is the only faith that claims and has history that shows that God came to earth to live amongst us. In Hebrews, in the Amplified Bible, puts it this way, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every aspect as we are, yet without committing any sin." As we light this fourth candle today, let's ponder that love, that by choice, Jesus, because of his love for us, subdued his divinity and came to earth, was born and lived as one of us, relating to our struggles and suffering so that we could have an eternal relationship with him in the Holy Trinity. Analogies never fully represent reality. However, I can't help but think that this would be like us saying that we would want to be transformed into a worm, living in the dirt for 30 years so that we could have a long-term relationship with the other worms. Given the choice, I know that I wouldn't think I would want to do this, but that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Now I'll light that love candle. We're going to light the final candle, the large candle, the Christ candle, at the conclusion of our service. Now let's sing, O Come, Emmanuel, and What Child Is This? Throughout the Bible, there are over 300 separate prophecies that Jesus' lineage, his birth, mission, and life activities, death and resurrection. Those prophecies and their historical confirmation throughout Jesus' life highlights the three meanings of the name Emmanuel. He is God, he is man, he is with us. As we review the Christmas incarnation story, let's put things in perspective. In the first book of the Bible, Genesis, begins with these words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then he goes on to describe creation. Some 1,400 years later, John the Apostle, who spent years eating, sleeping, walking the Judean desert, witnessing miracles at Jesus' side, standing at the cross, seeing him as through the resurrection, begins his letter to the early church with similar wording.
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
The powerful Creator God enters himself into the drama of human history as a helpless baby boy. Just as prophesied by Isaiah, the Jewish prophet, centuries beforehand. He said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." That is, God with us. As Peggy's just read John's story about Jesus, the creator of all things coming to earth, to be the light of the world in the most powerful story you'll ever read, these days we're hearing so many other stories. Think about Christmas movies. If you're like Peggy and I, by now you've had your fill of Hallmark formulaic Christmas romances. City girl meets country boy. They like each other. They hate each other. Blah, 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 etc., etc. Predictable, mindless, and by now, boring. The true Christmas story is a love story that spans centuries of history. And although the scenes are often familiar to us, at the same time, they remain mysteriously powerful. The real story of Christmas is filled with fascinating elements. Angels and singing, stars and travelers, miraculous conceptions, searching and finding, watching and waiting, treachery and slaughter, new birth and wonder, and light. Let's enter the Christmas story as the angel Gabriel comes to talk to Mary.
Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
The God of the universe chooses an ordinary Jewish girl living in a backwater village in Galilee to carry out the incarnated God, Jesus, in her womb. Around 700 BC, the prophet Micah wrote that Jesus' birthplace would be in Bethlehem. He says, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." Secular history tells us that Rome dominated everywhere that bordered on the Mediterranean and beyond during the reign of Emperor Caesar Augustus. He wanted to know how many people there were under his control for the purpose of taxation. so he ordered several headcounts during his reign. At least three censuses were taken in and around Jerusalem and Palestine in 8 BC, 2 BC, and 6 AD that could have corresponded to the time of birth of Christ. Luke tells us in chapter 2 of the Gospel why Mary and Joseph were to travel to the town of Bethlehem.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph went also up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men."
Notice that the angel's announcements to the shepherds is called good news. Some versions say good tidings, but most say good news. No versions say good advice. There's an important distinction for us. Advice is counsel about what you should do or need to do. News is a report about what's already been done by someone else. Advice urges us to make something happen. News urges us to recognize something that has already happened and to choose a response. Advice says that it's all up to us. But good news says someone else has acted on our behalf. The angel says, "I'll bring you glad tidings or good news of great joy." The coming of God himself into the world is good news. That's actually where we get the term gospel from. It's an announcement. You're not alone. You don't save yourself. God himself has come to save you. Christian author Tim Keller says that the Christmas message was and is for those of us living in the land of deep darkness, that light has dawned. The world hasn't produced the light. The light dawned upon the world. The light is outside of this world, and Jesus has brought this light himself to us. In 2 Corinthians, we read, "For God, the Creator God, said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made in his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Let's join our voices together as we sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," and "Mary, Did You Know?" Let's pick up the story and walk amongst the crowd in the Jerusalem temple. It's now 40 days after Jesus' birth, and on this day, Mary and Joseph have come to the temple to have Jesus dedicated. And they encounter Simeon.
"And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken to them. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many of Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against, yes, you, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed."
So we just sang in Mary, Did You Know? A similar thought is heard here, how Mary and Joseph marveled about what Simeon said about the impact of their baby's lives. Now, one of the most beloved and familiar parts of the Christmas story is the journey and the visit of the wise men from the east. We're familiar with the early part of their story, where they've been watching for signs of the birth of the Messiah and convinced that it's imminent, and they go to find him. The Magi, part astrologer, part noble statesman, and familiar with Jewish prophecy, traveled some 1,500 kilometers to see Jesus, a costly, long, and arduous trip. People along their journey would have taken note of the sight of a large caravan of notable men traveling and staying along the way. No doubt they were asked multiple times where they were going and why. King Herod was notoriously wicked and jealous of any political rivals. The idea of a new king being born was threatening to his power, and he responds immediately and brutally to squash any possible rivals. Of course, Herod's own wise men and advisors knew about the Jewish prophecy, and because of how specific the prophecies were, they were watching and waiting for a king to be born in Bethlehem. The Magi first stopped in Jerusalem, and because of their notoriety and status, they met with Herod, who asked them to let them know when they find the baby, so that he can worship him too. But we know from the text that Herod had no intention to worship anyone and was already plotting to kill him. The wise men's next stop? Bethlehem, to see and honor the long-awaited King of the Jews.
When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they greatly rejoiced with exceedingly joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way.
The significance of the prophetic gifts that the Magi brought further confirmed that Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah. They presented Jesus with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Valuable gifts that acknowledge the kingly divine status of Jesus and symbolizes Jesus' preparation for death that would come in about 30 short years. The story of Christmas is infinitely more powerful and wonderful than we know. The true historical story of Jesus is that God has walked among us and pursued us with his love. He knows what it means to live a human life. He is still here with us now, still pursuing us with his love. God didn't merely fly by and drop leaflets of information or advice or clues for us to try and decipher what kind of God he is and how to approach him. He came into our world in Jesus Christ to bring us light, to live with us, to know us, to die for us through his death and reconcile us to himself. If Christmas is just a nice story, then in a sense, we're on our own. But if Christmas is true, and the writers of the Bible have powerfully chronicled the facts of Jesus' life, then because of the Christmas Christian story, we humans can experience a life beyond ourselves, a relational intimacy with God. We can know real hope, real joy, real peace, real love, and light in our lives through the one who prophets of old called Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Son of Man. His early followers called him the Good Shepherd, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. Even God refers to him as my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So who is this Jesus to you? This season is an opportunity to ponder that question afresh. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. To everyone who asks, receives. May you receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas. The final candle, the biggest and the brightest than all, is called the Christ candle. The Christ candle, this candle represents Christ as the light of the world. 1 John says, darkness is passing. The true light is already shining. Let Jesus, the light of Jesus, fill your life and world evermore. A blessing for you for this Christmas. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said that he is the light of the world. May the light of Jesus illuminate your path. May you daily walk and talk with him as he stated that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And like all gifts, they are best when they're given away. Go in the hope, the joy, the peace, the love, and the light of Christ during this Christmas season, knowing that you are loved by the Creator of all things.
Thank you for listening to the Groundswell Podcast. For more info or to support Groundswell, check out www.thegroundswellchurch.com. Grace and peace.